here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Live, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you coming to you live from the Giants facility, day two of minicamp here, and practice started around 11 a.m. Eastern time, so they've already been at it for an hour. Paul, I know that you were out there watching as much as you could before you had to come in here and host the show, so before we start looking back to yesterday, kind of give us an update in regard to what did you see today that you liked, or maybe that you didn't like?
Well, George Selvey, the defensive end who they acquired as a free agent from the Cowboys in the offseason, not practicing today. Don't know the extent of the injury, other than Tom Coughlin will, of course, address the media after things are all completed. Don't think it's serious, but we will find out more later on. The defense, again, for the second straight day, appears to be ahead of the offense in terms of execution. I will tell you that Jeremy Davis, the wide receiver, who had some drops yesterday, came back strong today, however, making a real nice grab, fighting for the ball and attacking the ball against Shaqy Brown, who was playing right corner on the play. So that was an eye-opener that I saw. Otherwise, just offensively, they just didn't really seem to have it going. Andre Williams dropped a circle screen, you know, which you just hate to see from him because, you know, they'd like to see him advance as a receiver. Reuben Randall was unable to get under a go route that Eli actually overthrew him. And we've heard Reuben talk about Eli's arm strength. It was apparent on that bomb because Reuben just couldn't catch up to the ball. So offense not looking so great. And then the other thing I saw this morning, Anita, was the new pass rush package. Now, of course, JPP's not here right now. He hasn't signed his tender. So they're forced to do things without him. They had DeMontre Moore and Odighizuwa at the two ends standing up with Jenkins and Ayers as the two defensive tackles. That could be some of the wrinkle that Spags was talking about yesterday, when he said he's looking at different things and trying to pull some things out of the Ravens scheme. Ravens, of course, primarily use a 3-4 with a stand-up defensive end in Suggs. Maybe that's some of what he's talking about. Odighizuwa, by the way, number change, was 71 in rookie minicamp, is 58 right now, a linebacker number. I asked him about that yesterday in the locker room. I said, Oa, you a linebacker all of a sudden? He goes, no, I'm a defensive end. I said, 58? He said, I don't know, that's what they gave me. So, no explanation. But he's got Carl Banks, his old number.
Interesting. Again, Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, and you. Phone lines are open. You want to get in on the show for the next hour? We are here for you. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Also, monitoring Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. We will share those tweets throughout the show. Let's kick it off first and foremost. You're talking about the offense. Yesterday, Eli Manning threw three touchdown passes, one to tight end Daniel Fells, another to Shane Vereen, another to Preston Parker. Paul, I'm not so concerned in regard to you saying, well, the offense really doesn't look that hot. I mean, that's typically the case. Yeah. It's a lot more difficult for a team, especially this early on in the season, to kind of have that fine oiled machine rolling on all cylinders. It takes a while. So typically, I'm not too concerned. I across the board, I think in all camps, defenses are looking much better than offenses right about now.
I think that's very fair to say. I will tell you, during the OTAs, though, the offense seemed to be more in sync than they are right now. I think Tom Coughlin addressed that to some degree yesterday. I think, based on what I saw this morning, he'll agree again this afternoon. You are right. Generally speaking, that's the way it usually goes. Corey Washington yesterday, to me, was probably the star of the day. He made a couple of nice grabs once again, including one deep fly pattern down the right side. You're talking about, you know, who the bright spots are on offense. He would be one of them.
Here's a tweet from Ben. McAdoo talked about tailoring offense to players. Is Spags doing the same with unconventional formations? ?
I think that's a very interesting perspective. Again, Anita, you covered the Ravens for a lot of years. You know how they like to utilize their players. And one of the things that Rex Ryan used to do in Baltimore, now tell me if I'm wrong, he was very much into disguising and deceptiveness on the field. Very much into that. And it wasn't just what's the certain player going to do, but what's the scheme and the formation that they're going to be showing. And I think the other thing I saw a little bit of, and maybe I'm just imagining things, and they're only going through, again, mini camp. It doesn't mean it's going to happen in September. You know that amoeba defense that Rex used for a while, where guys would come up to the line out of the huddle and they'd stand up in what they looked like was a formation and a scheme, but they really weren't, mm-hmm. because they were kind of standing. They weren't actually getting down and set. That amoeba defense, I could have sworn I saw them run one or two of those this morning. I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be that way or guys just weren't sure where to line up. But is that maybe something that you saw a lot of that we should be watching out for?
To be honest with you, Paul, it was a long time ago.
So I know. I'm pushing you here, but
no, I know.
I'm trying to figure out clues.
It was a long time ago, and I don't have the mind of an elephant like you do. I mean, you remember, you know, a number of things from 25 years ago. But with that being said, I mean, you did touch on something. Listen, the philosophy of, you know, the Ravens organization is that coaches have a big say in regard to all aspects. For example, players brought in to audition, to work out for a team. Let's say it was a defensive player. Well, Rex Ryan was there watching the workout. Once the player was done, then Ozzy and the general manager, the head coach, and Rex, and let's say it was a defensive lineman, and the defensive line coach would have a meeting and they would discuss, how can this player work for you? If we bring him in, can he work for you? How will you utilize him in the defense? That doesn't happen across the board. We know that doesn't happen here. It doesn't, you know, every team, every organization is different in regard to how they assess players and then how they implement them in their defense. And maybe that is an element that Spags learned with the Ravens that he's trying to implement here in regard to, okay, instead of saying, here's my defense, and I'm going to plug these players in, and I'm going to have them, you know, here's the call, so this is what you're supposed to do as a linebacker, and this is what you're supposed to do as a defensive lineman, you know, maybe that is an element that he is bringing over to the Ravens in regard to, okay, let me see, who do I have here? Devon Kennard, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses as only a two-year second-year player in the league. Here's Jenkins. I know he's played a 3. I know he's been successful in a 3-4 yeah. defense. So what can I engineer for him specifically? So, yeah, I mean, that's very possible. That is kind of the out-of-norm thinking that he's bringing into this organization.
Kind of blurring the line of what the player typically might do in a standard 4-3. In fact, in some regard, Dave Tollefson, when he was on with us the other day as a guest, said, hey, I was like the fourth string defensive end, and Spags had an actual package for me. You know, and a lot of coaches don't do that. So I think Spags' attention to detail and his structure is great, but it does appear like what you're saying, maybe being able to be more flexible and not as rigid with each individual player in terms of that's your position, that sounds like something along the lines of maybe we could be seeing.
Here's a tweet from Shane. Again, hashtag Giants chat. Make sure you include that. How many preseason games do the fringe players have before first cuts? When do first cuts begin? Do you know? I don't mean to put you on the
you know,
the
that's
hot
so far down the line.
And ask you a question that you're
It's not... perfectly fine. We'll look it up right now.
And Giants Nation, was there a drone at practice today?
Oh, sure. Sure. The Giants film crew has a drone that they can fly over the practice line of scrimmage, so they can get that overhead look. Like if you were in the blimp years ago, and they would look down on the field. Or in recent years, they've had that robotic camera that hangs from the cables. You know the one I'm talking about, yeah. From the stadium, and Fox uses it. Well, the Giants have a remote control drone that during the first part of practice, they were flying overhead of the line of scrimmage to give them an extra angle on the play. That's all it is. Somebody was joking. Maybe there was a Patriots logo on it. No, not really. I'm just saying.
201. Why'd you go there?
For shame, right?
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Clancy, in Florida, you are first up today. Let's bring it strong. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing just fine. Hope you are also. I have a couple of questions for Paul. Trivia. What year did the Mariners buy the Giants?
The Mariners didn't buy the Giants. The founding father, Tim Mara, came into the league with a team. I mean, when he bought into the NFL, that was not like they bought it from somebody. The Mariners are the original owners.
Okay. But what year was that?
Oh, golly. I want to say it was 23, 25, 25. Yeah, Dave's helping me out here, 25.
25, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I purchased it a couple of years ago. I went to training camp, and before I went up, I purchased a Giants hat at a flea market down here in Florida.
Right.
And the only reason I purchased it is because it had on there the 25 was the year that the Mariners started with their Giants.
Yeah, they are the founding family of the team. It's never been out of the Mara family. That's
right.
Why your question kind of threw me off.
Mm-hmm. Now, my other one, which I hope to get you on, and I don't know the year.
All right, I'll try.
If it's 1 year or more. But the Giants did a practice in New Jersey. A training camp in New Jersey. Do you know what town it was?
Well, they practiced in New Jersey for training camp in two places. They were at St. Peter's in Jersey City for a while. They were also down at Monmouth University in West Long Branch for a while. And that goes back many years ago into the 60s and the 70s. I mean, other places they were at in those days, they were at Fairfield University up in Connecticut for a while also. When I started covering the team in 83, they were at Pace University up in Westchester County. And then from there, they went to Fairleigh Dickinson Madison here in New Jersey. And then from there, they went to Albany. And now they're back here at the Meadowlands. So I've been through four different locations for training camp in my 33 years.
Okay. And I was led to believe that they actually had a training camp in a town called Pompton Lakes.
I can't tell you that. Again, whether or not they had actual training camp, I know, at Monmouth and at St. Peter's Colleges. I can't tell you about Pompton Lakes. Now, there's no college in Pompton Lakes. There's a high school there. If they did have any practices, they would have been at a high school field. But I can't even imagine what year that would have been, and I don't necessarily think that was a full training camp unless we're going back to the 30s or 40s or the 20s. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was in that time frame, but I don't know when.
You know what? How old do I look to you? I mean, come on now. I look good for 75, but I'm not 175.
I'm 62.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
I've been around for a few years.
There you go.
I used to live in that town, and I just remembered that I can't remember where I got that information, but they actually had done. I'm not sure if it was their training camp actually, but they were in Pompton Lakes at one point.
Well, okay,
and
I'll believe you.
You can confirm it for me.
I can't. I'm sorry. I just don't. I just don't know. I'm taking a quick glance here at. Here we go. As a matter of fact, Giants.com does say 1933. They spent 1 year in Pompton Lakes. So you are correct.
So you did confirm it. Oh,
how
excellent.
About that? The internet confirmed it for you.
Clancy, do you have any any questions in regard to what's going on with the team heading into this season or before we let you go?
No, not at this point. I mean, as it's been said many times here, it's mostly technique, footwork, handwork, that sort of stuff. I'd be a little more interested in training camp, actual contact. Right now it's more frustrating for me than anything.
Okay.
Hopefully though there won't be too many more injuries. That's my big hope.
All right, Clancy, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
I can't. Interesting call.
Were you ready for a trivia quiz today?
I'm always ready for Giants trivia, but not when I got to go back like so many millenniums. Holy smokes. The 2015 NFL cutdown dates, I cannot find them anywhere, which is very interesting because...
Well, instead of giving us like an exact date, when do they begin? You know that. When do they begin? They begin after preseason game one?
Couple of weeks into August. Second week in August is usually the timing. Usually. Second week of August is your first cutdown date, and then your second cutdown date is right before your season opener. So
okay, that's all it. We needed. That's what we needed.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You got it.
All right. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you, 201-939-4513. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. Players are out there practicing right now as we speak. And then I believe media availability at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So we leave here, go straight into the locker room, talk to a number of the players, and, of course, those interviews will be up on Giants.com later on this evening. Make sure you stay tuned for those. Continuing with your tweets, hashtag Giants chat. As Paul said, offense not looking as good as the defense, but no concern there. I mean, I think that's the case for a number of teams in the NFL, especially at this point in time in the season. But this is from Elam Gray says, we need to remember that the offense is practicing without three of its top weapons, Odell, Cruz, and Larry Donnell.
I would not argue that. But so, the defense is also practicing without JPP.
Keep that in mind.
One thing that Spags noted the other day, and I do think, you know, we should definitely mention this as well, Anita, and we have talked about it a lot throughout the offseason. These are still non-contact drills. You know, and so when people ask specifically a lot of times about the linemen, and they'll say, well, you know, how's Flowers holding up, or, well, how do the defensive linemen look? There's really not much you can say about it. And Spags himself was saying it yesterday. Until they really start hitting, there's very little you can figure out.
I thought it was interesting what head coach Tom Coughlin said after practice yesterday. You were literally, like, right next to him in regard to, I think the question was, you know, so what are these 3 days going to do for the players? What was his response to that? Because it sounded to me like the players had communicated to him and the coaching staff what these 3 days mean to them. Do you remember what Tom said?
Well, I do remember what Spags said. Tom, I don't remember if he said anything that really stood out to me, but Spags was talking about how he wanted the guys to get their technique down, and he wanted to make sure if they had any footwork, especially hand technique and footwork, were the two things that he really wanted them to get down, in addition to the bookwork, so that by the time they got to training camp, he wanted guys to know where to place the hands, where to go with your feet, and obviously know your plays so that when you go out to training camp, you're going to be able to run the practice plays without having to worry about figuring any of that stuff out. That's what Spag said he wanted. I want to say that
Tom said something about how, like, these 3 days set the tone
for what's
to come.
Philosophically speaking,
right?
Not technically.
Right.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
No, it's okay. Right? Yeah. Like this, and that the guys really, really enjoy these 3 days. That these 3 days really set the tone. Then they go on vacation. They spend some time with their family because they know that the end of July, you know, that's when really things get serious.
6 or 7 years now for you here. Seven, right?
Six.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's fair to say that this is the most excited, happy, fun, energized off-season program that I've seen around here in a lot of years, probably certainly since you've gotten here. These guys are really hyped up about the season. They're really looking forward to it. I've had several players tell me they feel a buzz in that locker room, and we're how many months away from the season? And I don't usually hear that or see that in the springtime.
Right.
So
But let's look what's going on here. You know, it's a new and exciting offense, okay? This is Eli Manning and these guys going into their second year with it. So there's a swagger, there's a confidence level surrounding this offense. Odell Beckham Jr. walks around here like a superstar because he is. You know what I mean? He's infectious. The guys get it. The guys gravitate to him. You know, there's excitement about Victor Cruz being healthy. There's excitement with this backfield with Shane Vereen being here.
There are a lot of reasons for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in each of the last two seasons to think that they're getting better.
One thing I've been saying, and again, the 6 years, this is, I'm going on my 6 years covering this team, is that this is the best linebacking core I've seen, and the linebacking coach, Jim Herman, said the same thing.
Sure.
That this is the most talent he's had to work with in a number of years. So, you know, and there's expectation that JPP is going to be here once training camp starts. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think there's a big buzz here, and for a number of reasons, and I think rightfully so.
I would be very surprised if this is not an improved football team. Now, where does the health factor lie and how much improved? Look, that's going to play out over the course of the season. But, Anita, I don't think anybody who looks at this team would disagree. They're a better team than they were at the end of last season.
Let's go to line three. Abdul's calling in from Minneapolis. Abdul, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. I didn't get any chance to call yesterday, so I'm going to go back for one question, then I'll move forward to today's question. Yesterday you guys mentioned about what part of the team I'm most interested in for the OTAs or the minicamp. And I'm very interested in seeing how they align, how they use the backfield this year, the offensive backfield. I think I just want to see how creative they're going to get with the and how they need Shane Vereen and who they use him with, and just the alignments and, you know, what they're going to do on first and second down. So I think they have a really good chance of being a really creative offense that will put the defenses on their heels for a lot of the season. And second part of my question, or second thing I want to say, I want to talk about Akeem Hunt. I went back, and because people have been talking about him, so I went back and looked at a lot of his highlights at Purdue, and he is really dynamic. I know he's playing at Purdue against college players, but from what I've seen, he's extremely talented, and I really hope that there's a way of keeping him on a 53. Because if we don't, I could see him becoming our Danny Woodhead, how the Jets let him go, and suddenly he became right. Really good. I could see another team picking him up and him doing some good stuff in the NFL. I know that we have a lot of talent in our, you know, in our backfield, but I really hope there's some way we can keep that kid on here because he looks like he could be something special. And another thing I want to talk about is I have a question for you guys. What do you think was the most underperforming part of the team last year? And what have the Giants done to fix that? I bring that up because yesterday someone mentioned how we have no safeties from last year and how he thought the safeties underperformed, and that's why we got rid of them all. And I'm not sure if that's really what happened. I understand that a lot of them were kind of outpriced, but we didn't really try as hard as we could to keep our safeties. And so I think he thought the safety position was kind of underperformed. I was wondering what you guys thought about, you know, who played the worst last year and what we did to fix that.
Okay, we'll take it one at a time. More? You got more? Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm in Minneapolis. Like, I get kind of, you know, excited about New York stuff sometimes.
All right. You don't?
And the last thing, the fact that you guys mentioned about Spags, I'm throwing in some 3-4 defense, that got me really pumped because that's outside the box thinking. You know, and it also makes sense why we maybe picked up some of those linebackers, you know, Casillas and JT Thomas, to have more, you know, athletic-type linebackers
speed
on the team.
Yeah.
And I understand we're not going to switch to a 3-4 full-time, but it'll be great just to wrinkle it up sometimes. I think people are kind of used to Giants playing a 4-3. And if we could, you know, suddenly throw a 3-4 out there, I think it'll be great. And, you know, I just like that out-of-the-box thinking. I think it's getting everyone excited about what's going to come. And I think that's why people really feel excited about 2016 or 15.
Abdul, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I'd like for you to comment on Casillas because I don't think enough is being spoken about him. I mean, he's kind of like that under the radar linebacker that was brought in that I don't think fans really don't call in a lot about him. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about him. What are your expectations for him this season?
Really good special teams player. Quick, athletic, speed guy at the linebacker spot. Kind of like an oversized safety in a way. You know, he's more of a weak side guy than he is a middle or a strong side guy. But the Giants right now have JT Thomas playing weak side. So to me, Casillas is a backup unless he's going to be utilized as part of that sub package, which again is part of the intrigue as to what is Spags going to do with these guys. That's about all I can say on him right now. In terms of the questions, Hunt is a scat back. Okay, Shane Vereen does everything that Hunt does and better because he's an NFL player who has an experience and resume and he's proven what he can do. So therefore, to me, there's no room on the 53 for Hunt, at least right now. I just don't see it. He is a scat back. He could be used in the slot like what Vereen does. He could also potentially be used as on a return game. I think he's an interesting player to look at, but I see too many duplications of duties between him and Vereen. So I don't think he makes the team.
What about the safety position?
Well, you know, the safety spot, to me, they've decided to just overhaul it and rebuild it from scratch. And anytime you do that, you're going to have questions. Because inexperienced guys are going to make a ton of rookie mistakes, and you're going to have to somehow overcome them and live with them. Sometimes teams just decide, you know what, maybe we're getting long in the tooth at a certain position, and it's time to get younger. That's what the Giants did. Whether or not you like it, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm going to tell you, I thought Antro Roll was a hell of a player, and I would still like to see him here. But that's not the way the Giants decided to go. I would tell you the offensive line, and back me up on this, Anita, I would tell you the offensive line, specifically their run blocking, is what let me down the most in last year's team.
In regard to your tweets, hashtag Giants chat, this is from Big Dash. This is probably the youngest roster we've had in years.
Well, we're going to find out when they get the final 53 together what the average age is. But right now, it would look like if you're going to project the guys who they probably will keep, it will be a very young team. I would agree with that.
But, you know, also in regard to the safety position, I don't believe that this was the game plan. I think they would have, right, like to have gone after or made a play for...
Well, they went after McCourty.
There you go, McCourty.
You know, they went after him, and he decided to go back to New England.
Who's much younger than Roll, right?
Several years.
Yeah. So the idea was not only to go younger, but possibly bring in a talent like that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, so this is plan B, right?
That's it. You know, that's it. And that included trading up to get Landon Collins at the beginning of the second round.
So, 201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Kevin's calling in from New Jersey. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about JPP and have a question real quick. JPP, I'm a little disappointed that he's not there right now. I would think that, you know, Coughlin saying that he expected him to be here, I thought he would be here by now.
Well, remember, he's not signed, okay? He's been tendered the franchise tag, but he is not signed.
I do understand that.
So,
does he have the option to come in, even though he is not technically part of the team?
Well, here's the thing. It means he can be here, but he can't work out. He can't go into the weight room. He can't go on the field. All he could do is visit. Now, that he could do. And we've been told
that
he can visit. Now, he did not do that yesterday. There's still a couple of days of minicamp left. Could he? Absolutely. I think the important thing you want to remember here, and we heard this from the coaches yesterday, both Coach Nunn and Coach Spagnuolo, is that JPP has been here a number of times during the off season. He's met with a number of his teammates. He's met with several of the coaches. He's gotten the playbook and a bunch of cut-ups and so forth and so on. And even Coach Nunn went so far as to say, I believe he's in a good frame of mind, and as long as he gets here by the beginning of training camp, I think if he's not ready for the first game of the season, he's going to be very close to being ready. So I give you all of that to assure you that JPP is going to be fine, and I would not worry about it.
It makes me feel a little bit better. And
okay.
I do have one other question, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, my question, I guess, would be about the linebackers. And no offense, I'd rather hear from you on this, Paul, just because I know I know your partner there is a little biased towards our guy from Jacksonville. But I was just looking for an update on the linebackers and how they're looking.
Well, I would say this. They're not hitting anybody. And linebackers like to hit. So there's not much I can give you on those guys right now. I really can't. In non-contact drills, you know what? Here's where you got to cut my partner some slack on this one. Because in these drills, one of the great things that you can see, speed, quickness, reaction time, athleticism, all things that JT Thomas has.
Well, I mean, Kevin, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. I mean, Kevin thinks I'm biased. If he thinks I'm biased, I'm sure there's some other Giants fans out there who watch the show who think I'm biased. I don't know why I would be biased. But
you like Thomas. You have a reason to.
I do. I think, you know, you need to put value on things that aren't necessarily right in front of your face. And yes, we can talk about speed, we can talk about athleticism, but you can't. I mean, you got to put value on hunger, okay? Mm-hmm. You got to put value on hunger, and he's hungry. He's hungry. He feels that he did not get a good shot with the Jacksonville Jaguars to be a starting linebacker with that roster. And you could say, well, maybe there's a reason for that, Anita. Maybe because he just wasn't talented enough. Maybe there was too much talent. Maybe. A part of me thinks it was politics. Again, that's just me. So maybe that's why folks think I'm a little biased. But I'm going to put this on you, and please be honest. What are your expectations for JT Thomas? Do you like him as much as I do? If you don't, what is it about him that you have concerns about?
Well, I saw him play against the Giants in Jacksonville last year. I was on the sidelines that day. I wasn't even upstairs. And he was very good that day. Played the run extremely well. And impressed the Giants enough that when he became a free agent at the end of the offseason, or the end of the season, they put in a phone call. And they were like, you know what, we think this guy can upgrade us right there. So I'm going off of the game I saw, the Giants' interest and my belief in their eyes. But to be perfectly, totally honest with you, I'd like to see before I say anything else when he gets on the field in preseason and then in games. Because playing in Jacksonville, what did I see of him the last few years? Not much. I mean, I saw him one game in person, and he looked good. I didn't watch any of the Jacksonville games. So I got to be fair and say I'd still like to see more. But based on the little information that I have now, I think he could be a pretty big help to the team.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta. Derek, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Hi. Hey, first off, maybe you guys can answer this question for me about August 14th joint practice. Is that open to the public, or how do you just first come, first serve?
August 14th, you're talking about the practices in Cincinnati.
Yeah, is that in Cincinnati or in
all right, let me make something very clear. The Giants have announced that, or Tom Coughlin himself said that the Giants are going to go out to Cincinnati a few days early before the preseason opener, and they will have some practices with the Bengals in Cincinnati. I don't know that they've officially announced the times or the dates of those actual workouts. Just he said that they'll be going out there, and it's a good thing. He wants them to go out there and face new faces and guys on the other side of the ball. Whether or not those are open to anybody, I'm guessing the Bengals are basically the team you'd want to ask because they're going to run it. It's on their property. It's their territory.
Oh, I thought that was in the Meadowlands, so MetLife. But apparently it's in Cincinnati, huh?
Okay, yeah. In fact, Dave, our producer, just messaged us on the computer. The joint practices will be held on the PBS practice fields, and I don't know much about Cincinnati. But that's where you want to go, and they will be open to the public as part of the training camp for the Bengals on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 11th and August 12th. So make your plane reservations now.
All right, so let's talk about this possible 3-4 defensive scheme. I don't want any part of it, and no experimenting. With 3-4, we don't have the linebackers for a 3-4 system. I think, you know, even though I know Anita likes the linebacker core, I just don't think we have the front. We don't have a nose tackle for a 3-4. We don't have the linebacker depth or the linebackers that know how to play 3-4. I don't want my defensive end standing up. They should be rushing. So I don't want no part of this 3-4. So I hope that's not part of the scheme that he's going to.
Well, Derek, I mean, you know, listen, if this is a defense whose main base and identity is a 4-3, but you have the creativity and the talent to disguise a 4-3 and maybe come with a 3-4, depending on, of course, the situation and the play and the opponent, I mean, you've got to be excited that you have that option.
Do you think we have the talent to do a 3-4?
Paul?
Not in a standard 3-4. Absolutely not. But that's not what you're going to see. I suspect when Spag says he's going to take some crumbs from the scheme that he saw in Baltimore, I don't think it's going to be that kind of 3-4. I think You know, Suggs stands up as a pseudo defensive end a lot of times, and they call it a 3-4, but schematically they're really playing a 4-3. Okay? I think you may see some of that specifically with Devon Kennard. I suspect
I don't mind
he can
if you
do that.
If you have defensive ends standing up in a rush position, maybe you slide Hankins to the middle.
Well, we saw Dickie Zua doing that.
Safety down in the linebacker
this,
spot,
this morning in practice.
You,
hold on.
Because there's only 3 men in the front.
Again, understand. Oh, Dickie Zua was doing that this morning in practice. So I'm thinking that that's kind of the flavor of what we're talking about. I don't want to mislead anybody. I don't think the Giants are going to go to a 3-4. I really don't. What they're talking about is taking the flavor of some of that stuff. Maybe in the maybe bits and pieces of kinds of things that you might have seen in a 3-4. They're not just going to go to a scrapping 3-4 defense. It's not going to happen.
I'm just saying we got a lot of new faces on off defense, and I think we need to be concentrating on this on the formation that we're trying to learn. We got safeties that we got to line up. We got linebackers who are new to the system. I mean, Devon Kennard, I think, is an up and comer, but he's new. I mean, we don't really need to be experimenting with formations that we never had before. With drafted basically 4-3 tackles and defensive ends. Now you want to? To me, you would have to stand up someone like a Demontre Moore or some. I don't want no part of it, so
I'll let Spags know, okay?
Derek, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Let me just ask one more question, too. Do you think that the offensive coordinators, help with their scheme against the safeties to try to fool them for teaching? You think they get with the defensive coordinator and say, let's see if we can put some offensive plays in today, see if we can fool these safeties into coming down or, biting on
something? They're always doing stuff like that during these camps because they want to keep guys on their toes and they want to see how much they're retaining. So, absolutely, that stuff happens.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that they're trying to do some of that because I don't want them live action seeing something new,
I got you.
For the first time. Talk to you guys later.
I think it's important that you reiterate that Paul's not saying that this Giants defense is going to go to transition 2 or 3-4. What he's saying is that you have Spags who had commented that there were some things that he had learned in Baltimore that he's going to try to
implement.
Implement. There you go. Implement. And possibly be a little bit more creative at times with this defense. That's all Paul's saying.
That's it. Don't freak out now. They're not going back to a 3-4 from the 80s. That's not going to happen.
Let's go to Lynn, line 4, calling in from Maryland. Lynn, you're up.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Okay, well, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. It's a little low, but let's try and hang in there. Based on the last call, I just want to say that my defensive philosophy for the year, find the ball and arrive angry. Let's pound the offense a lot more than we have in previous years. You can do that out of a 4-3. You can do that out of a 3-4. Find the ball, arrive angry. Simple as that.
Good plan, Len.
If there's anybody, the Giants list Akeem Hunt at 5'10", 190, I think they're fibbing.
Yeah, he's a small guy.
I mean, there are over 2,800 guys on NFL rosters right now. If there are 50 who are Akeem Hunt's size,
right,
I'd be surprised.
Okay.
I think maybe only on the Giants, maybe only J'Ron Hosley is smaller than 5'10", 190.
Okay.
Hunt is really a small guy. God, he's going to take a pounding. Typically, the first cuts, 90 to 75, take place the Tuesday after the third preseason game. 75 to 53 take place the Saturday after game 4. I don't know the calendar. I don't have the dates, but that's typically when they occur, 90 to 75, 75 to 53. At least that's the way it's been done, in the recent past, last 5, 6, 7 years anyway.
But you know what's funny, Len? the league hasn't put out. I was just on the official league information website that we get for the media. They don't have the dates out there yet, and I don't know why. I'm going to tell you flat out. I don't know why. They're not there.
I'm going to
check on it as soon as I get out of here. Trust me.
That's one that's taken place in the recent past, and that gives these young guys, I mean, three preseason games and a lot of practices to make their mark.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awful. A lot of guys put out of work in less than a week's period of time there at the end of the preseason. A lot of guys get their walking papers, but that's just the way it's been in the past. Anyway, JPP. He's doing what he's got to do. I really believe that. I mean, this is just part of the deal. There's going to be some other guys who are going to do the same thing. Des Bryant, for example. But let me ask you this question. When do the Giants get tired of this? I mean, it seems like they've moved into a mode that they're really, unless they're faking it here, they really don't want to sign JPP long-term at this point. I think that's safe to say. And here's my question for you guys. Do you think they have any idea of signing JPP long-term anytime, even after this year?
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. Look, Len, hold on a second. Honestly, he's had a litany of injuries the last couple of years. Last year, he played very, very well, although the sack numbers didn't pile up until the second half of the season. And they're looking at this as a prove-me year, not just for production, but for health purposes. For them to sign him to a long-term deal this early, when he still has the franchise tag to sign and is under contract for a season, doesn't make a lot of sense, given that they are not desperate as we speak to get extra cap room to do that. They could afford to give him the one-year franchise. It's within their budget. So why wouldn't you do it? It's perfect business sense to me.
Just to confirm, this is the last year. They can't tag him next year as well, right?
No, you can tag a guy twice.
I know. So...
so they tag him this year, and they could tag him again next year if they want to in 2016.
Okay. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. We are going to John Schmelk, who's been watching practice. Again, practice started at 11 a.m. today. You are watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Schmelk, welcome in. Kind of share with us what have been some of the highlights today out on the field.
Hey, guys. Well, for the second straight day, practice ended a little bit early, and it's not that Coach Coughlin and the coaching staff are taking sections of it out, sessions out, or reps out. They're just trying to go through things a lot quicker, and I think that's the word that I described both yesterday but especially today's practice, and that's tempo. Every time the offense goes to the line of scrimmage, you have Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin making them very attentive to the play clock, wanting them to go at a very, very fast pace. And I think you saw that again today. You know, they're already done doing bands and then done stretching and, getting into their position huddles about 15, 20 minutes before practice was supposed to end. And that's just because they're going at such a fast tempo here. I think the coaching staff wants to set the tone for what training camp's going to be, where, as Paul and you well know, Anita as well, that this team likes to go at a fast tempo. And I think you've seen that the last couple of days in minicamp, and I think it's been mission accomplished from that perspective.
So are you kind of getting the sense that this offense as a whole moving into this season, we're going to see a much faster pace offense than we saw last year, maybe a lot more no huddle, John?
Well, I'm not sure if you're going to see more no huddle, but I think you're going to see the team probably get out of their huddles a lot quicker. I think we saw that start last year under Ben McAdoo. I think we'll see it continue again this year. And I think what we saw the last couple of days in terms of play and practice itself, even more so today than yesterday, I think we've seen the defense play some of its best football that we've seen so far this offseason. They made a couple plays in the ball in the second tertiary. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had an interception going stride for stride. Ruben Randall deep down the sideline. Prince Mukamara for the second straight day jumped around on a sideline on a Ryan Nassib rollout. He had an interception that probably would have went back for a touchdown if it was in a game situation. So I think you saw the defense have one of their better practices. And frankly, the offense in terms of the passing game was probably as sloppy as we've seen it so far this offseason. I counted anywhere, depending on how strict you want your green to be, anywhere from 7 to 10 drops over the course of practice. A lot of balls hitting hands, and guys just weren't coming down with the football.
Has Coach Coughlin addressed the media yet, John?
No, he has not. He is right now, I'm trying to keep my eye on Pat. I believe he is just talking with Pat Hanlon in the middle of the field right now. So, no, Coach is not headed to the podium just yet. When he does, I'll let you know, and then I will run and take a listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, because we were going to say that, as Anita alluded to, a lot of times the offense is behind the defense at this stage of the game. But, you know, these last 2 days, you mentioned the word sloppy, and I have to agree with you. I think offensively it's been a little more ragged than I would want it to be, and Coach seemed to think that yesterday too. I mean, he didn't pull any punches on that. He's like, the execution wasn't where I wanted it to be.
No, I agree. I don't think it was quite as much with the first-team offense. I think I saw it more with the second- and third-team offense.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to put it on the shoulders of Ryan Nass with the quarterback. I think he was actually pretty strong in a lot of his throws. He was zipping it in there, but his wide receivers and tight ends weren't doing him a lot of favors bringing the footballs in.
So, John, yesterday we saw Corey Washington look good, Prince Amukamara with an interception. Who stood out for you today? Give us some positives.
Yeah, no problem. And the reason I interrupt you there, I apologize. It's funny you mentioned those two guys' names. They were actually matched up today on a little jump ball and a little fade corner in the end zone. And Corey Washington got the best of Prince. He was open. Eli put the ball nicely over his shoulder. Prince jumped, but Corey Washington got to the ball. But it was one of those situations where he couldn't hold on to it. So Washington made a great play, beat Prince. He just couldn't bring the ball in for a touchdown. So that was a nice play by Corey Washington, besides the drop, obviously. Prince had the pick. I mentioned that. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had the pick. We saw Kenrick Ellis make a couple nice plays in the backfield. And I think most of the strong plays from the practice the last couple of days came from the defense. We saw a lot more pressure packages, I think, than we've seen in the past. They were getting into the backfield and disrupting the offense a little bit. So I think most of the highlights you see from practice today are going to be in the defensive side of the ball.
Well, I can't wait to see Kendrick Ellis once he starts hitting people, because that would be a lot of pancakes on the field. I'll tell you that, John.
Absolutely. He's a big man. He's going to be key to their run defense.
John, thank you so much. If head coach Tom Coughlin addresses the media and he's done before 1 o'clock, please, by all means, call back in and let us know what he has to say.
You know what? I'm actually about 20 feet behind Coach and Pat. That's why I'm whispering. So okay. I will follow him to the podium, and as soon as he's done, I will give you guys a shout back.
Fantastic. John Schmelk, of course, reporting from practice. Interesting. 2 days in a row practiced in early. And I listen.
That's not like him.
No, it's not.
No.
It's not like him at all. But I like what John had to say. You know, we know that it's a copycat league. When you look at what the Philadelphia Eagles were able to do in regard to how quickly they're able to get to the line of scrimmage, call the play, execute, it keeps the defenses on their heels and it tires them out. But the big key to that is, at the same time, you need a defense. Yeah. You need a defense who's in great shape, because if you do execute and you run with an offense that is going to be that quick and that fast pace, and who knows, able to put up points very quick, you're going to have a defense that's not going to have a lot of time off in between their series.
Yeah, Tom has always said that when you go to that hurry up stuff a little more often, you worry about three and outs and then beating your defense into the ground. So maybe a little bit of a change of a philosophy here, or maybe just flat out, maybe Coach Coughlin and Coach McAdoo have even more confidence in the offense this year than they did last year, and maybe Tom doesn't think they're going to have many three and outs. Maybe that's why he's willing to move into that direction, because, oh, you know what? This offense is going to move the ball. You know, we're not afraid of going three and out and putting the defense out there.
201-939-4513. Ida Marks, Paul DeTino, and of course you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We appreciate you watching. Again, practice ended early yet again today. Tom Coughlin, right now as we speak, addressing the media. We'll find out what he has to say. But from John Schmelk. If not, then you can also tune in to Giants.com for all that Tom has to say after practice. If we can't get to him before 1 o'clock, let's go to line three. Nick is calling in from New York. Nick.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Segueing into the offense and the hurry up and the worrying about three and outs, I'm concerned about the offensive line, given that, you know, there's no contact right now. It's really hard to judge the offensive line, so it's kind of hard to judge the progress of a rookie left tackle and Marshall Newhouse at right tackle, who has, you know, questionable resume. And given that the defense has a lot of new people that have to be plugged in and learn their positions, If the offensive line struggles and you have a lot of three and outs, you're going to expose that defense. And I'm just concerned that the offense doesn't progress. The offensive line might be the problem with the team.
Well, look, no one's going to pull any punches here. This offensive line has not been up to speed for a couple of years, you know, to where they can be counted on play in and play out to be an all-around blocking line. Yeah, they've done better in pass protection than they have in run protection, but run blocking. But they got to get that other side of it straight, too. And that's what the mission is this year. Because Eli had a terrific year last season, Anita. Let's not mistake that. And he had to get protection in order to be able to do it. So I don't want to trash the O-line because, you know what? They kept him upright enough to throw for 4,000 yards. But it's that run blocking that must come along. And so, you know, until that gets up to speed, the Giants' offense is not truly going to be everything that it can be. And we all know that. And they know that.
Exactly. And it's if you're going to try to run a high a Philadelphia Eagle high-paced offense, and if you start having three and outs, you're going to put that defense on the field. And mm-hmm. I think early in the season, I don't think it's too much to assume that the defense has to learn. And you know, they have a lot of new faces in a lot of new places, and they're going to have to grow. And you have like rookies, you know, probably rookies and a first-year player or a second-year player playing safety, and even the coaches are saying that the learning curve is coming along slowly for the safeties, and you know how important the safety position is to running the defense. And if the offensive line can be better at run blocking, that will go a long way to having sustained drives and to keeping your defense from being on the field and from being overexposed, particularly early in the season. But because there's no contact, there's no really way to judge
right. exactly.
how that offensive line is going to gel.
Exactly.
And like I said, I'm concerned about the two tackles. I mean, Newhouse had a checkered career, but you know the success rate of a rookie playing left tackle is not particularly high.
Understood. You're going to have to be patient, my friend, because the honest-to-God answer, as you said moments ago, is wait and see. I could sit here till I'm blue in the face, and Anita could have to resuscitate me, and it's not going to help you because we don't have the answers. This offensive line is going to have to go out there and get it done when it's time to go, and all they can do is prep them as best as possible. And there's really nothing else to say about it. I will just add, and thank you so much for the call. We're going to let you go. I will just add this, Anita. Too many third and shorts in the last couple of years. This team wound up dropping into shotgun and pass formation and not converting.
Yeah, but you can't. That's not fair. You can't compare the last few years. I think you could only compare last year.
And last year certainly is relevant, too. Bottom line is, third and ones, third and twos, you've got to convert those. And that's where the power running game comes in, because those are the situations that will allow you to sustain drives and do what you want to do. When you can't get those thirds and shorts, it absolutely hamstrings your football team.
And just to make a quick comment in regard to Eli and him getting the ball out, listen, let's give credit where credit's due in regard to Odell Beckham Jr. You know, this is a guy that no defender in the NFL was able to really lock down for longer than a second, two at most. And it really helped Eli when he was under duress, when he was under pressure, to get the ball to Odell, even on those short little quick slants, those 2 yard outs, those hitch patterns. Yeah. So that was a big reason why you saw Eli Manning and him have a good year.
Yeah, the kid really, how many more plaudits do we have to give him? I mean, he was just more than sensational as a rookie.
Let's go to line one. Eddie's calling in from Cali. Eddie, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, I know everyone right now is hyping over the safeties right now with the rookie Landon Collins coming in. But right now I want to talk about the cornerbacks, specifically Dominique Rogers from Marty and Prince of Camara.
Go ahead.
All right. I know they were both kind of hurt last season. What kind of a bounce back season do you think they're going to have this year coming into 2016?
To this point, both players are healthy, and they have had very good off seasons and good springs. We've seen it time and time again. Prince is getting his hands on the ball left and right. It seems like every time he's out there, he says he feels really good and no remnants from that injury. And DRC, same thing. I mean, he's running free and clear. Doesn't seem to have any of the lower leg issues that he was having last season. So fingers crossed, they'll remain healthy, and the Giants will have two solid corners going into the year. I don't know what else I can tell you.
Well, that's good that they're both recovering from their injuries. You mentioned before that Owamabe Odigizua was wearing number 58, correct?
That's correct.
Do you possibly see him as a potential linebacker?
No, I do not. I do think that what we saw this morning when he was a stand-up defensive end in the sub-package is something that we might see a little bit of. But, of course, if JPP is here, quite frankly, JPP would be over him. I would expect Demontre Moore on the other side in that package. So I think Owamabe was getting those snaps because JPP's not here. But it was interesting to see nonetheless. And I do think he's got a very, very versatile skill set. Extremely athletic, extremely quick for his size. And he's one of the guys that I'm anxious to see how Spags utilizes him, because the kid has quite a bit of talent.
Yeah, me too. I believe that he does have a lot of talent, but I believe he's injured right now, correct?
No. He had a sore leg, missed a bunch of the OTAs and stuff, but he's out on the practice field as of yesterday. He's been out there the first 2 days of minicamp, so that's not an issue any longer. And by the way, he was a very good run stopper at UCLA. That's how they used him at defensive end. They wanted him to be the run stopper. So we know he can do that.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was like an actual injury to the leg. I was like,
sore leg is all we were told, and he's out there on the practice field now, so don't worry about it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for the phone call. So, again, practice ended about 20 minutes early today. Players will be made available to the media later on this afternoon. We'll be heading into the locker room getting those interviews for you. Make sure you tune to Giants.com for those interviews. Tomorrow I'm back on with Lance. The show is so much fun to do during this time because there's so much to talk about and really an exciting time before the lull. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. I mean, you know, guys aren't going to be back here really ready to rock and roll for training camp till the end of July.
That's right. And I'm going to get a hold of Coach Coughlin, and I'm going to tell him he cannot end practice early tomorrow because I'm going to get a chance to watch, and I don't want to be cheated out of 20 minutes. I need to see it all.
You're so funny.
2 hours.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody who tuned in today. Really do appreciate it. Hope everybody has a fantastic afternoon. And again, just a reminder, make sure you tune in to Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon to hear what all the Giants players had to say to the media post-practice. Have a great day, everybody.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.